Hey legends, Fraser Brooks here with the Network Marketing Ninja podcast, the podcast where we share all things network marketing, social media, branding, leadership, mindset, and the occasional interviews with rising stars and network marketing legends. Fasten the belt, get ready, get excited, hit that subscribe button because we're going to get ready for the next episode coming up now. Hey legends, so in this episode, episode 160 of the Network Marketing Ninja podcast, we've got something a little bit different for you. So every single month inside the Inner Circle, we take the names of the people who are the top of our leaderboards, the top three positions. We take the people who get the most number of customers, the most number of distributors, the people who were the most active in the group, and also the people who were the Inner Circle members of the week. We add their names onto my Inner Circle spin the wheel. And at the beginning of each month, we spin the wheel, and whoever's name it lands on, I then do a hot seat, a hot seat coaching call with that person. We stream it into our Inner Circle Facebook group, and then now we're posting them onto the Network Marketing Ninja podcast. So the month of August, we had the winner was Pamela Kent, Pamela in Scotland. She is incredible. She's amazing. I'm going to play the interview that we did recently with her for you to get an inside look of some of the stuff that we do inside of the Inner Circle, just as bonus content, really. But before I do that, if you haven't already claimed your ticket, claimed your free ticket to the upcoming 10-day challenge starting on the 6th of October, this is one of the last chances you've got to actually getting it. So if you're listening to this and it's after the 6th of October, you won't be able to get a free ticket. But if it's before the 6th of October and listen to this right now, go to FraserBrooks.com/grow. FraserBrooks.com/grow, G-R-O-W, and go ahead and get your free ticket. Feel free to share that link as well with your network marketing friends and family, but we appreciate you, I appreciate you, and I want to I want to share this amazing hot seat coaching call with myself and Pamela Kent. Hey, 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 legends, Fraser Brooks here coming at you with a super special legend, Pamela Kent. Pamela, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm loving life, thanks. I'm loving life. So Pamela, you were our superstar of the month, the spin the wheel Inner Circle member, which is like, yes, it's such an achievement when you win the Inner Circle spin the wheel. It's so cool. So we wanted to kind of put you in the hot seat here and see if we can help the masses learn from some of the stuff that you're going through and growing through in your network marketing business. So for the guys to be able to get to know you a little bit more, how did you find network marketing and how did you kind of get involved in network marketing?
Interesting one. So it definitely wasn't somebody that was looking specifically. So background is, come from professional corporate background. Absolutely loved the job that I'd done, the clients, the industry I serviced. But I was one of those individuals, I guess, who was always looking for something more. I didn't know what more was, but I was always kind of pushing boundaries to kind of have more on a continuous basis. And I kind of stumbled across the industry back in 2012. And I was probably quite the cynic. I have to say, my sponsor back then would probably have said I was the worst prospect ever, because I interrogated them within an inch of their life, asking for evidence, everything, because I thought, this is a little bit too good to be true. And it was, believe it or not, it was not social media. It was somebody, 3 foot rule, spoke to me in the street, and I thought, that sounds good. What if? But then the cynic in me kicked in. I like to say that's the Scottish person in me.
Got it. I was going to say Scottish, typical Scottish. So like, what happened from that moment onwards?
So I think that, I mean, initially I've always been somebody that's, as I say, you know, strive for more, always looking at what if there was more than what life was giving me. And do you know what? And people say to me, you know, you've got a great job, you know, flash cars, holidays, all the rest of it. And I thought, yeah, but inside I wasn't satisfied. You know, I've got an incredible work ethic, so I kind of always look for new ways to challenge. And for me, when they opened my eyes to the industry, after I interrogated them for about 3 weeks and kept, and every time they said, I'll call you back, I didn't answer my phone. I was that prospect.
Answer. The worst.
So you'll never hear me complain about that because I have that reflection moment of, oh, actually, that was what I done. So I just go, okay, follow up again and again and again. So So I jumped in and I went all in. And and I think it opened my eyes very, very quickly to the possibilities. And it made me realise that actually, you know, I always was somebody that worked. I say I worked hard. I had a family. I was in that phase where I had children. They were growing up quickly. And I guess I was missing out in my mind of a lot of that. So network marketing allowed me to replace the income, sack the boss, and be around for the family as well. And now I've got lots of corporate friends. When I told them I was leaving, and of course I was quite proud of my decision, so I told everybody what I was going to do, and they just looked at me and went, really? Really? The haters came out in their masses.
It's crazy how that happened. So I love what you basically said there, that you were kind of, let me just sort that out. So you had all the external things that people wanted, like the flash cars, the holidays, the nice job and all that. But internally, you didn't have it. And it's funny that, isn't it? Because when we flip it the other way, when you have everything internally, the external stuff doesn't really matter, but you also have it as well if like you've mastered the internal stuff as well. So that's super, super cool. So with that being said, like obviously we're, oh, and by the way, guys, it's Pamela's birthday. It's Pam's birthday today. So I know we snuck that in. A little birdie told me, little birdie, if people still use that phrase, but so I just wanted to say a massive happy birthday to you. But it's pretty cool that you can kind of just have your birthday like at home with your family doing what you want to do without kind of being like, I know it's just another day at the office, kind of, you know, doing the day job. And then I've got a little, and have a little family get together tonight. Like, you know, it's cool to be able to have the whole day to yourself and us lot now. So just wanted to say happy birthday. I was going to sing it, but Pam, give me
there really is no need.
Oh, wait. Yeah, said it was optional. So I'm gonna take the optional route with that one. So how can I help you? Now we're obviously here. And what are some of the things that maybe you've what challenges are you faced with? What's stopping you, do you believe, stopping you to get to the next level in your business?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've had, if I look at the business, so I work my network marketing business with my partner, and in fact, the industry brought us together some 4 years ago, so I guess something else to be grateful for, and I guess we've had some, you know, huge success over the years. You know, we've helped thousands of people successfully launch, turned over 5 million, you know, so we've had a good, strong business, but there are still some things that I guess it's that, you know, so 5 million's great. But I guess, what are the top tips, Fraser? I guess my first question, top tips on how I double that, treble that, because actually, you know, that's a great number, but I'd like that quarterly, monthly, weekly.
Well, yeah, well, network marketing and wealth creation is a doubles game. It's, okay, what do I need to do to double it? And how fast can I double it? Yeah. So I think first and foremost is, campaigns are going to work really well. If you've already got a sales organization that's producing sales and making sales, then obviously having like campaigns are the most powerful. I was sharing one actually with the 1% Club last night, and I believe this one will help you really well. So the strength of an organization is determined by the number of people who can tell their story well and can tell the company story well, the product story well. So how many people, if you guys who are listening and watching, if you guys were to write a list of all the people in your team that if you were to just not, like if you were to just not, you know, do a presentation or share a story, how many would be able to step up and do it? Like, I'm really not feeling very well. Like, can someone step up and do the presentation? How many is it? If it's just you and one other, a little bit of strength. If it's you and 10 others, a lot more strength. If it's you and 1,000 others, unstoppable, right? So the campaign that I would recommend is the 7 day story challenge. And this works super, 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 super well for a number of different reasons. But you're literally going to choose a 7-day window. So what are we on? We're on Tuesday, the 21st of September. So let's say Wednesday, the 22nd of September, it's going to begin. And the idea is, what is the absolute best story that you can tell at the end of the 7 days? Now, it could be like, I was able to get a new customer. I was able to get a new team member, or I was able to get the breakthrough that I needed. I was able to make $100. I was able to inspire someone on the team. What is it? Because the whole goal then is you've set your 7-day standard. So now your goal is to go beat it. So maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks down the line, you're able to say, in 7 days, I was able to make $300 because I got 2 customers and 2 team members. Ah, kind of crazy. But here's the real strength behind it. When people start hearing the company success stories and they see, you know, the diamond leader, the ruby leader, the unicorn leader, the whatever leader step up, and they're like, oh, it's time for our upline to speak again. Heard her story 13,000 times, and we're going to be able to say it word verbatim, exactly what they say. It's all right for them because they do the I don't have that. Instead, what if they were to come on stage and say, listen, guys, I understand that maybe I'm unreachable, I'm untouchable. You maybe look at me in a different light. You maybe think that I can do things that you can't do. But what if I was to tell you that I decided to take everything back and just see what I could achieve in 7 days personally, not the team, but what I could personally achieve in 7 days. And in the last 7 days, I was able to get 2 new customers and 1 new team member. Now it's relatable. Now it's real. Now you think, I reckon I could beat that. I reckon I could have a better 7-day story. But then when it comes to prospecting with the team, you could say, listen, I've been involved for a couple of years now. So people then start thinking, oh, it's going to take me 2 years to get to where you're at. Ugh. Most people can't even think one day, let alone 2 years, right? But now it's like, right, listen, let me tell you, in the last 7 days, I've been able to do this, this, and this. If I could show you how you could do the same in a 7-day period, you'd be interested, right? Like $200 in 7 days is going to be way more powerful than $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month in 3, 4, 5 years. Because most people will be like, yeah, but I don't have 3, 4, 5 years. I don't have any time as it is now. Like, I've got too much going on. I want to start a family then, or I want to get another kid then, or like, yeah, I've got my job and I hope to get promoted by then. So that's the key of the 7-day story. And that's if you roll it out to the team and basically get them to do it. And on the 8th day, get them all on Zoom and just have them tell their 7-day story. You'll inspire them to do a lot more. They'll take a lot more activity. There's no pressure on customers, distributors. It's just, what's the story you can tell? And then you can then go behind the scenes to them and say, like, that was an awesome story. Kiss, compliment. However, I would do this, or I would remove that, or I would focus more on saying that and remove this part of your story, which is the slap, right? Compliment, yeah. Slap, compliment, you know, criticize. And then, but again, great job. Give that a go. Send a voice message to me once we're done. After that, once it's all okayed, you can then have them share that as a live or on a story or do a reel or a TikTok or an Instagram or a Facebook or post it into a group or whatever it might be. So that is actually probably the main campaign that I would run to double the business. It's not going to double the business after a week, but when a lot of people then start to do a lot, like when a lot of people do a little amount, that's when you kind of create the feeling momentum. If people are like, oh, I feel really good about my business now, and they take more activity, more results, then they, you know, two or three more new leaders come into the team and they generate a few million between them, and, you know, hey presto.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I almost feel a little campaign of Beat the Boss coming on in the achievements of that 7 days as well. They're quite a competitive bunch, a lot.
That's good though, right? I think what it's good is it's really good to have the competitive space. But I think it's also really good to have the collaborative space. So what you'll find when you do this, when you get back into like the face-to-face, when you get back into like the face-to-face kind of game, is people in the hallways, instead of just chatting absolute nonsense and what's your favorite biscuit and what's your favorite, you know, make of shoes and all that, they start saying, hey, what's your best 7-day story? and they're like, oh, this. And then a lot of people get inspired by that. Like, whoa, that's possible in a 7-day period. Like, geez, I need to up my game. And then again, you're collaborating by sharing stories, but then you're driving competition by like, oh my God, my best story is 3 customers. That person's best story was 32 customers. That's what's possible. I need to get off my backside and get to work. So it can help massive. It really can.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, Fraser, I think I mentioned to you in a communication we've had back and forward that we did first company live event just last weekend. And again, you start to see that, you know, even when they're doing small talk on, you know, online Zooms and stuff, you can see that starting to shift. It's very business focused because they're like, well, what have you learned in this pandemic period? Or, you know, what have you learned that I don't know about yet? So there's great. And that collaboration is definitely, I think, something that's got room for growth as well, for sure.
Yeah, again, just creating that space where people are open to sharing their stories. If we try and tell people to share their stories on social media, but they're afraid to tell it in front of a crowd, an environment that they know, right? Like, hey, share your story. They're like, oh, no, I don't want to. Raise your hand. No, I'm okay. I'm just going to listen, right? So it's always creating that environment where they feel safe, secure, but prepared to share vulnerability and get out their comfort zone. Because if they can't do it with you, they won't be able to do it with.
So I have another question, if I may, on, I guess one of the things, the biggest challenges, I think, for us as network marketers is that we're kind of responsible for everything. We do everything in our business, you know, and I kind of that, how do you, I guess, what would be your advice and mentorship around, how do you do that? I guess it's that, decide what's on the, you know, follow on the kind of do, ditch, delegate type approach. You know, how do you decide? Because I will always, you know, my passion is about serving the team. My passion is always, you know, rightly or wrongly, I've always put them before perhaps filling my own cup, which is something that's a development area, you know, for sure. But I think it's also about, you know, how do you go forward from that being somebody that does everything in the business to going, actually, this is where my attention needs to focus.
Right. So this is awesome. I really love this one. So, in my opinion, the most important thing about building a network marketing business for yourself and other people is how you feel about the business.
Yeah.
Like if you wake up and feel great about the business, you will do something. If you wake up and feel crappy about the business, you won't do something. And especially when you're full time in the business, if you don't feel like doing it, you can have a duvet day. You can have an off day. You could have a day where you just go walking. You could have a day when you just go shopping. You could have, you live life on your terms. You don't feel great. You just don't do it. And yes, people could say, yeah, but you got to have discipline. You got to have that daily method of operation, but you don't do a good job at it. If you feel crap, you're like, oh, I'm just going to get my follow-ups done just so they're done. Like, oh yeah, done. Yeah, it's like you got to tick the box, right? Yeah, you got done, tick, tick, tick. I'm done. Woo, yeah. But you haven't really done it with the right energy. So in answer to the question, I would make a list of everything that brings you a ridiculous amount of energy. Like, and what do you know off the top of your head, maybe what those things are, the things in the business that you do that makes you feel like, oh yeah, I feel good. Yeah. What do you think? What are they?
It's for me, I think it's that. So I also fit my network marketing business around full-time consultancy hours for Facebook and other things. So kind of, although I work at home completely, I balance spin plates, but my energy absolutely comes from seeing help. It's the helping others, it's new conversations, it's, you know, helping somebody successfully launch and get their first paycheck, it's helping them get their first sale where you can see their belief level grow because they went, you know, I've just made, you know, $100, £100 here in the UK. But again, it's that, you know, it's that, those conversations, it's making new connections, you know. Do I enjoy things like, you know, tracking figures and all that? Excites me when I see the end numbers because I'm quite analytical, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, another spreadsheet. So for me, it's all about the stuff that actually empowers others. And I'm like, yay, Mary's really happy today. She's got such and such an achievement. So that fills me with energy. But when you go, can you write tonight's presentation? I'm like, oh, okay. Can I just talk?
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you something. Why do you think I use the whiteboard on almost every presentation? Because I just cannot do slides. I absolutely hate slides. I just can't stand them. And I think it's also, and I'll answer the question, I'll give you some guidance in a minute, but I think it's also just attending so many events. And I obviously I make notes on all the speakers that I see. It's something that I've done for years. Like if, and by the way, I'm looking dead into the camera now. And then when I'm looking at you, you're somewhere else. So I don't want anyone thinking like, is he checking like the football scores on a Tuesday afternoon? Right. So, so if the camera lens is you like on stage, but your slides are over there, do I want people looking at you or do I want people looking there? And then when you've got slides and you're on stage, it's like, so as you can see here from this wonderfully made unicorn presentation that I've spent 13 hours making over the last 2 days, like da 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 da. And then you're guiding people to not look at you, looking at the presentation. And then your presentation skills are like, stand with the microphone, look at the crowd. I don't like the crowd looking back at me. Okay, so I'll use my slides. Yes, deflect, deflect, deflect. Obviously on Zoom, it's a little bit different, but with that being said, so just based on what you've said, I would be looking to have some sort of morning meeting with the team. Now, it's not just going to be like a, hey guys, grab your coffee and let's chat. It's going to maybe be like an accountability meeting, because if helping the people get a breakthrough is one of the things that gives you energy, then you could have a breakthrough with the team like literally every single morning. By, you know, maybe you're getting up, you make your coffee again, it depends on daily schedules and stuff. You make your kids, sort your kids, you get your coffee, you sit down in front of the computer, you're going to do your work anyway. Three of the team join in. Hey guys, what did you do yesterday? What did you get done yesterday? Nothing, something. I did X, Y, Z. All right, well, let's talk about the X, Y, Z. Let's talk about the nothing. Let's talk about the something. All right, you did nothing. You've done nothing for a month. You've done nothing for a week. Let's relaunch it, which then ticks your box for your second thing that launching new people or relaunching people can potentially bring energy to. After that's then done, or if you want to do something else, it's then prioritizing, right? Beginning of the day, I'm going to go and have two or three new conversations with new people because that brings me energy. After that, you can get into a little bit of management mode, because I know, right? Like in terms of like management mode is inevitable. I think I think you're always going to have to manage at some point, but a lot of people look for it as soon as they wake up. They wake up, they grab their phone. Oh, Mary, Steve and Dennis have messaged me. So I better message them back so I can be a responsible, reliable leader so that they know I'm on it 24/7. When in reality, you messaging them back, it's not doing them any favors. You're making them more dependent and less independent. So I would do the things that give you energy first and then move into probably like personal production, like blitzes, and then move into obviously team chats. But if you're doing team chats and if you're doing like team conversations at the beginning of the day outside of like accountability meetings, then.
Do you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Fraser, because I think it's coming into the inner circle. I now have a routine where, you know, I'm sort of a 6 o'clock, 6:30, I'm at it, but it's my new conversations. I do blitz, I do that stuff. I actually quite like doing blitz sessions. I've come a little bit addicted to them. Thank you for that. And the team do them, but they do them sort of 9:30, 10 o'clock, fitting in school drops and stuff. But then I'm done and I'm over. But what I find quite interesting is when I have that hour and a half where I don't touch my mobile phone, I don't use my message, and don't respond to my messages, but I get a lot done. But then I get people in the team saying, they go into the main team chat and somebody will say to me, listen, heads up, so-and-so needs a bit of support. And I think to myself, and they say, well, I didn't message you directly because I know you're really busy because you weren't online. So they assume when I'm not online that I'm not available. So I'm like, okay, just, so again, it's that balance, isn't it? Where people don't want to approach you because they think you're too busy, but also you're thinking, right, I can get more done in the first 2 hours of the day than actually most people get done by lunchtime. So
absolutely. And when you mentioned like balance and stuff, I think one thing that people get maybe wrong with balance is they look at balance from a day-to-day perspective. They're like, oh, you know, I feel guilty because I've spent 8 hours on my business and only 3 hours with my kids. I'm like, I'm doing this business for the kids, but I'm spending more time on the business than the kids. So I feel like I'm going backwards. Balance should never, ever be looked at day to day. It should always be looked at every 90 days or every year, right? Because then you do 5-6 days of your business and then you have an entire day with your family uninterrupted, or you do, you know, 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. every day, apart from Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and you do what you want. So I think it has to be like a zoomed out view, because you're going to have, you know, peaks and troughs. So yeah, I think it's just important for people who are listening and watching, and obviously self, like balance is just something that it has to be looked at from a zoomed out approach. So yeah, I think those are the keys, really, is is making them feel good, make it easy for them to document the feeling that they're getting with that, like that kind of 7-day story, getting them to share that with others and then obviously with social media, and then really kind of focus in on what gets you energetic and excited, because that energy will just pass on to the team. And for the leaders out there who are listening, obviously yourself, Pam, is whenever you do a 7-day story, you've got to make sure that your story is the best, right? It's not, right, guys, we're going to do a 7-day challenge. I'm going on holiday for a week. But like, good luck, all the best. No, you've got to go and have a great 7-day story as well. You've got to at least attempt it. And if people outdo yours, if they feel they've got a better one than yours, they feel flipping awesome. They feel amazing. Which makes them then do more and get more, have more, and all that fun stuff. So,
yeah absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the tools, because I think that I guess my other area that for me is a quick aside is that, you know, building people's belief. How do you build people's belief that kind of, I guess it's from that attraction point of view. So when I talk about attractive, I mean like attraction marketing. So people's belief, mm-hmm. and again, it's something that I consciously work on. But again, it's how do you give people that? How do you give them the tools to enable them to start believing in themselves just little by little to ensure that obviously they put themselves out there? Because there's so many people that actually, when you look at them on social media, I think I've got no idea what you do as a business.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. Absolutely. I think with belief, it's just understanding that there are little steps and it is a process. I was meeting with a group of people from like the Netherlands and Belgium. This morning, actually, like they had rented like a villa on the Palm and they said, hey, can you come for a coffee? I was like,
nice.
I'll make the time like to come to the Palm. It's kind of a nice place to have a coffee. And they said that their big, and they'd flown from the Netherlands to Belgium into Dubai. And they said that their biggest struggles was belief in the company, belief in the products, belief in themselves. And I think those three, obviously believing in the company, you get when you see the bigger picture, when you go to an event. Yeah. It's very difficult to believe in it otherwise. And obviously with events, that's been a big problem in the industry. People are, you know, loving the products and loving the idea of making money, but they don't really believe in the company. So there's this huge gap. Now, obviously, company events are happening. So believing in the company events, believing in themselves will come when they change their environment. And I think that's why it's so important to have the Zoom calls for training. Yes. But also Zoom calls to just get to know each other and tell stories.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's the best story that you can tell? What's the funniest joke? What's the funniest clean joke that you can share? What's the most incredible thing that's happened to you? What's the worst thing that's happened to you? And just getting the team to share stories with one another so that they feel comfortable in themselves. And like, you know what? I believe I could go tell more stories with the world. And then obviously believing in the products is, I mean, you've got incredible products anyway. So they kind of, you know, people fall in love with the products anyway, but if they love the product and they love the company, but they don't love or believe in themselves, they just don't do the work. So I think it's just having that kind of system for each thing. Like, what don't you believe in? Myself. Okay. Let's work on that. Let's tell stories. What don't you believe in? The product. Okay. What product have you been using? Hey, maybe try this one. What don't you believe in? The company. Okay. Well, you need to come to the next event. Oh, but hey, if you want to win in this game, you've got to believe in the company. You got to come to the event. Oh, I don't believe in the system. Okay. Let me introduce you to someone who also felt like that, but they now obviously love the system because they've been able to use it and put people through the process. So it's finding and establishing really where the belief level is or what the lack of belief is and where it's at. And then, you know, introducing them to some sort of tool or process that's going to help them with that until they're, you know, they have unbelievable levels of belief. That does not sound right.
I think that's that's a kind of bingo moment right there, Fraser. It's that, because, well, I would say company and product are, you know, we take care of system. Again, we take care of, you know, when they get to a point, but the biggest thing is people's personal belief, and actually it's that story sharing. So one thing that I haven't done with them is actually taking them to, like, let's just share stories. You get snippets coming through, but never actually just said, right, let's focus on arming you with more stories. You know, as their sponsor or mentor, the, you know, the person they're working with will share what stories they know, but there might be somebody else's story that resonates better. So I love that. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely something that I can use in the team for sure.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people will tell you stories that they haven't told family members.
Yeah.
And when that happens, they come off the call thinking, I think this is like my second family. Like, and when they feel appreciated, loved, and they can share vulnerability and like, and anything, then the game's over. Like, you win the game because they don't want to leave. They can't leave a place where they feel loved, appreciated, admired, and where they can talk about things that maybe they wouldn't tell their team, or they wouldn't talk about with their husband or their wife or their, you know, their family members. So sharing, telling stories is just such a, it's just such an underused tool when it comes to like building community and retention and obviously belief levels. So give it a go.
Yeah, fantastic. Brilliant. Love that. That's definitely something that I can use for sure.
Amazing. Well, hey, I appreciate you. I wish I could speak to you more and more and more. But if you're listening to this and you are an Inner Circle member, every single month, we take the people who are the top three people in the leaderboard, the people who got the most number of customers, the people who got the most number of distributors, the people who won the win of the weeks for the 4 or 5 weeks of that month, the people who are the two most engaged people in the Facebook group. We put them on the spin the wheel, and the person who it lands on gets this call. If you're listening on the podcast and you're not a member of the Inner Circle, do consider it. You can reach out to me to ask for some more information about it if you want. Pamela, I appreciate you. Thank you so, so much for just being an absolute legend and being one of a few who messages me every single day with their personal production numbers. And I appreciate that. It's always fun when I see your your messages come through. It's really great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you holding me accountable as well.
All right. I appreciate you. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your day. And we'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, 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 legend. Thank you so much for tuning in to the latest episode of the Network Marketing Ninja podcast. Feel free to subscribe to the channel and share it with your network marketing friends, as well as checking us out on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. I cannot wait to see you on the next episode of the Network Marketing Ninja podcast.